Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, it's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio.
All right, so if I asked you a question about wide receivers and where they are currently ranked after four games in the regular season, assuming that all the guys that I'm going to give you basically played their first four games with their respective teams. The guy who's leading the NFL in wide receiver and wide receiving in terms of receptions, and the guy who's fifth on that list in terms of receptions, play for a team in town, and they don't play with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
Who are those guys?
Well, I mean, based on what we saw the last couple of weeks, it's got to be Malik Nabers being the first one. And then after the last game against the Cowboys with Wandale Robinson's production, it's got to be him.
Yeah, so Malik Nabers is the number one wide receiver in the league in terms of receptions. He's got 35, and number five on that list is Wandale Robinson. He's got 26. Tied for 14th all the way down. You know, in the middle of the pack is Garrett Wilson. He's got 20 receptions.
Yeah, he's also
he's playing with a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, but you also have guys. I mean, to be fair, there's also guys on this list like Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb that are tied. And
yeah, Chris Olave. Garrett Wilson's supposed to be one of those guys.
And he's but they're tied for 14th. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So those guys, he's tied.
Yeah, but he's not Nico Collins. He's not Chris Godwin. He's not Amon-Ra St. Brown. Even Steph Diggs has got more catches.
Yeah.
And he's the second option down in Houston behind Nico Collins.
Yeah, I will agree that Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson have not been on the same page.
Remember all the stuff that was going on in training camp?
Yeah, with them talking to each other, and it seemed like it was heated, and then they denied that it was heated and everything else. It was fine. I thought that was fine.
There's a lot of denying after the fact.
Yeah. Well, those two, whether Davante Adams is here or not, those two got to get on the same page. All right, Mets game two tonight. Sean Manaea on the mound as the Mets try to clinch and move on in this wild card series to an NLDS against the Philadelphia Phillies. Ian in Phoenix joins us on the fan. What's going on, Ian?
What's happening, brother? How you doing?
Great, man. What do you got for us?
I've got to say Iglesias, brother. You think about the game today. I'm a huge Mets fan. Been watching them forever since I was born in Flushing and all that stuff. I'm in fifth inning, two outs, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're on second base, ground ball. Homeboy is running like the Flash. Dives, beats out the pitcher. I mean, brother. And then they score, what, how many singles after that? I just got to say, you know, we know who the MVP is for the Mets, but my God, Iglesias. And I've also thought about, he's got his song, right, brother? And he's a player that wasn't playing
Brian,
last year.
Listen, brother, it's oh my God. We don't say my God. We say oh my God here when we talk about the Mets.
Fair enough.
You got that,
but
brother?
This man is playing with the validation of being an artist and being encompassed by, I mean, this guy is insane, brother. So I just, you know, I think in the whole scheme of things, I know every Met fan knows what he is, but if you look at the game today, the most pivotal moment was, and then everybody else started to just be like, all right, he's got us. So I just wanted to give him his props.
Oh, yeah, man. Listen, we did early this morning, too,
yeah.
Ian.
Way to talk, brother. Way to go, brother.
Yeah, a lot of brothers. You don't like anything like that. I've noticed. And like a boss or a brother or a guy or a big guy or anything. That really rankles you. Like, you really... Pal's your least favorite. I think.
Yeah,
you hate that.
But Biggs you're okay with.
Yeah, Biggs I'm all right with.
Yeah. That's the one. He's got one. Everybody's got one. But yeah, I feel like we did give Iglesias his props early on, and I mean, he's been awesome.
That's
how
you open a show, buddy. You opened a show just like that, buddy.
Buddy, brother, buddy,
hey, listen,
pal.
This guy, we talked about David Stearns bringing guys like him in.
Yeah. I mean, and finishing the season on a 22-game hitting streak, his defense has been flawless.
What's his slug percentage? Do you have any idea?
His slug? They got it up here. It's 448.
Okay.
That's his slug. You don't need him to slug, though.
No.
Need him to get on base, play great defense, and hustle down the line and dive into first base.
By example.
Yeah. I mean, those are the type of guys, when you're talking about a championship team, that you need. And David Stearns, hell, he built the Brewers, and he built the Mets. We built some of the Mets.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, he only played 85 games.
Yeah.
It feels like more than that.
It feels like he's been here the entire season, because it's like once he got here, the Mets were more a different team.
You know what else is in the middle of all this, too, that, you know, Marte was missing a lot last year.
Yeah.
Missing a big piece of this year. Jeff O'Neill got hurt.
Right.
He's no longer here.
Right.
A part of this thing. There's a lot of weird kind of dynamics with this team.
Jeff McNeil.
McNeil.
That's right. Yeah, the squirrel.
The squirrel. But there's like weird dynamics going on here. I mean,
in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
Well, you know, Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil never liked one another. There was that choking situation, and you could tell the passive-aggressive stuff that Lindor, which I agreed with Lindor, would say about, you know, happy Jeff's a good thing. You know, I'm glad he's hitting. But, yeah, Iglesias for McNeil has been a huge deal and a huge thing for this team. So, yeah, I mean, listen, when the team is this good, I mean, yesterday and what happened game one in Atlanta, you feel like there's nothing negative you could say about any of these guys.
Right. If somehow, some way, you get something from Acuna, I mean, then you know everything's going well.
But we'll see if he ends up in a lineup tonight. I don't know. I don't know if they roll the same lineup out there as they did yesterday. I mean, I guess there's a possibility they throw him out there. I mean, it's also I know he's got the lineage.
Lineage?
You know, he's got the lineage.
Lineage? What are you talking about, lineage?
Well, his brother is
a great Major League Baseball
player.
Sounds like something Brandon would say.
Lineage. I fundamentally disagree with your lineage take. And I know he's seen his brother excel at the highest levels, including, you know, World Series. But it's a big spot for a young guy, throwing him out there in these playoff series. So if he's in the lineup, that's going to be something else.
Hopefully he's not on board.
Yeah. Hakuna Matata. Yeah, but, you know, Winker, who's been, obviously, he's not like the greatest hitter in the world. Martinez, the slump that he has gotten into, and those two guys coming up as big as they did yesterday.
Yes.
And then, you know, Winker gets that 2 RBI triple and then gets pinch hit for it the next time he comes up because, you know, JD Martinez was what Carlos Mendoza wanted to go with, trusted him, saw him breaking out of his slump. And it wasn't a bomb, but he goes the other way.
But the point being is that so far, Carlos Mendoza is touching and pushing the right buttons.
All the right buttons.
He's a button pusher, and he's pushing them all the right way.
Yeah. I mean, and last night, you know, we got a call yesterday from somebody saying, what about the bullpen? And we nailed that, and I said a couple innings from Buto. We did, you know, unfortunately, you know, I said the perfect scenario would be Severino through 7 and 8-9 Buto. You get Severino through 6-7-8 Buto. But
then Stanek.
And then Stanek, who we mentioned as well.
The nice thing is that you showed your chops as the biggest Met fan around here.
Don't even start.
Biggest Met fan.
No.
Biggest Met fan in my life.
No one's ever said that.
No,
I've
but
never
you're
said
the biggest
that.
Met fan in my life. Well,
no,
Randy,
not.
Randy, I got to say, Randy's got to be number one, then you're number two.
No, stop. No.
But I spend more time with you than anybody else.
Yeah, well, but Al, I think Al and Eddie
don't give me Al. Eddie, I could say yes, but not Al.
Eddie's a bigger Mets fan than me. Al's now, he's super into it now, Al. You should have heard him this morning.
Yeah, I hop on the bandwagon when the playoffs start.
He is so into it. He has changed his entire take on Haley Welch, the Hakuna girl.
What? Really? You actually flip-flop?
I did.
Yeah, there's a lot of flip-flopping going on these days.
Yeah, I was very angry the Mets did that. I thought it was stupid.
Yeah.
Now she's tweeting about the Mets. I'm interested now. I think it's fun.
Hawk-tua!
She's superimposing, you know, photoshopping herself in Mets. Like, she's at the Mets game. It's fun.
Yeah, she was in a Mrs. Met costume, and also...
So all of this has turned out to be a positive for the Mets now. Initially, in the aftermath of the reaction, it was ugly.
Well, yeah, I mean, we didn't slam it as hard as other people did. I know Al hated it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was not the smartest thing, but whatever. You know, you move on.
You just looked at me.
What?
You just looked at me, and I swear to God, I saw J.D. Vance.
Yeah, I know.
I did.
Yesterday,
I'm telling you.
Well, yeah, I know. Yesterday.
It's amazing.
No, it's not amazing. Yesterday, I got a lot of doppelganger stuff. Like, every person with a round head with dark hair and a beard, they say, just like every bald guy, you know, like Brandon Tierney looks like Rob Saleh, you know, Sal Licata looks like Craig Carden. It's like, so every, it's just.
No, you actually really do look like J.D. Vance. No. Look at, give me that look like he.
I'm not giving you. I'm not.
Give me that BS.
I'm not playing
look
along.
When he got hit with a line of BS.
No. I'm not.
Either from one of the moderators or from the jackass knucklehead that he was dealing with. Give me one of those looks. Give me the look.
I'm not giving you.
Called
a look.
Called himself a knucklehead.
I will say.
Give me.
I'm not giving you a look. I'm not doing it.
The look I'm talking about?
No, I don't. I'm not giving you a look. I'm not playing along. I did get a lot of doppelganger stuff yesterday, yes. Not only with J.D. Vance,
yes.
But also there's this guy from American Pickers that died yesterday, and his younger photos of him and me, another fat-faced, dark hair, dark beard guy.
I'm telling you, this picture, you look just like him.
Well, that's because that's my face on there. Did you not figure that out?
No, I know that, but it's not your. It's not.
No, it's my face on there.
No, I know that, but the hair is his. Like, in other words, the way the hair is combed and everything else is his.
Okay, but it's my face.
I know it's my face on the Donald Trump.
So that's why I look so much like him.
No.
Now I figured it out.
You actually do look like him. You looked like him as I looked at you over this. So, monitor, and I just caught this glance like you were looking at me like he was looking at Waltz last night.
Yeah, so look up the American Pickers guy and see which one do I look like more, the American Pickers guy or J.D. Vance. So now I understand why Boomer thinks I look so much like J.D. Vance, because someone superimposed my face onto J.D. Vance.
With his hair. This guy?
Yeah, that's what people think. Yeah.
No. See, look, I look nothing like
him. No, you don't look like him.
I don't look like J.D. Vance. Look.
Yeah, you do.
Look.
You do.
Side by side.
Yeah,
no.
That's you.
He's got blue eyes.
He's got very good looking blue eyes.
No. Yeah, no.
You both have big foreheads.
No, that's true. But no.
Yeah, but his sort of slopes back more. Gio's is more straight up and down. His forehead.
Yeah, Gio has a more eyes. Of a protruding forehead.
I do have a very, this is something I've noticed before.
Your forehead protrudes.
Yeah, it's the big brain that's in there. Very large brain.
And the nose shape is different.
Yeah, everything's different.
Wow. Well, I think they look the same. And you have the same kind of colorings. The beard's very similar. Well, the beard's very similar. The hair's very similar.
Yes,
and you don't look like, you don't like
everybody
this poor guy
look
that
like
just
this
died.
No. Yeah,
not at all.
Okay. What happened to him?
I'm not sure. He had a stroke a couple years ago, I read. You know, it's crazy because so many people told me that I look like him. I wanted to find out his cause of death to see if I was going to die that way.
They said Pete Rose died of natural causes.
No, I saw cardiac stuff.
Well, yeah, cardiac stuff, but it was supposedly it just happened. Because he was in Nashville on Sunday signing autographs with the members of the Big Red Machine.
So maybe it was a heart attack?
It was listed as like natural causes caused by whatever he must have been dealing with.
Yeah. I saw like cardiac stuff. Hold on, let me get the exact thing now, because since we brought this up. Since we're talking about recently dead people, let's see. I can't find it.
John Amos just passed away.
Yeah, I know. From McDowell's. A lot of people dying last couple days.
Yeah.
It's been tough. Dikembe Mutombo,
John Amos,
Pete Rose, American Pickers guy. I mean,
Chris Christopherson.
Yeah.
Jeez. Man. Hopefully the Brewers.
Remember the movie Star is Born with Chris Christopherson?
Mm-hmm.
And they brought it back with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
And wasn't that a remake? The Christopher.
The initial one was a remake.
Yeah.
It's funny.
The initial remake of the initial movie.
Like, if this isn't sports talk in a nutshell, if the Mets had lost, we'd have 55 phone calls of people screaming. The Mets win. We're like, Kris Kristofferson died a couple days ago. Because the Met fan is just so happy, just wants to sit in the car and listen. And they got nothing to bitch about.
John Amos died too.
Got nothing to complain about. And let's hope it's the same thing tomorrow.
All right, so who right now is the bitchiest fan base? Because you're talking about people wanting to bitch about something.
Get stuff off their chest.
And, you know, we're here for
you. The Jets fan, I think.
Not the Giants fan?
Yeah, I think because the Jets fans' expectations were bigger and that loss to the Broncos.
Four games into the season.
Yeah, I understand. What does that change about the expectations before the season?
Nothing, but I think
so
we
who do you think the bitchiest fan base is?
I still think the Giants.
Okay. Well, only four games into the season.
Yeah, but this is not a group, with the exception of Malik Nabers, and everybody's probably stoked about him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some new players in that team, too, but it's like, this is Aaron Rodgers' first four games as a Jet quarterback.
I understand.
Well, Yankee fans were mad at C-Mac for not doing Yankee, you know, Yankee
hot
talk.
Stuff.
Yeah. Because he was talking about the Mets, and they were angry with him.
Yeah, you know, C-Mac too concerned about the content police. You know, he responds to that stuff all the time.
I know people say this about me. I know now everybody's getting mad at me because people don't understand.
I don't know any of that stuff. Like, as a listener who's not paying attention to social media, I have no idea what anybody's saying about him. But he tells me that because he's all wrapped up in it.
Well, I mean, he is the voice of the Yankees around here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's Yankee hot stove the moment the season's over.
Exactly. Well, it's during the season as well. It's just hot stove that continues.
I mean, like, and they don't play until Saturday. You don't know who they're going to play.
Yeah, he doesn't need to explain himself. We all understand it.
We know who's playing. We know what the lineup looks like. The big question is whether or not Rizzo's fingers are going to be okay.
Your fingers. Let me smell your fingers. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
All right, so Jerry.
Boomer.
I spoke with the people from Compass Media Networks yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Nice. All right, so let's just reset for the people who may not know the story.
I was going to, but you can do this.
Go ahead.
No, you're better than me.
just want to make sure.
This is your strength.
And
I want to play to your strength.
Right. So Jerry Recco, not doing a Cowboy game for Compass Media Networks, actually asked to do a Giants-Eagles game for Compass Media Networks on October 20th. And Jerry asked Boomer yesterday if he would be the color analyst. And Boomer said yes.
Go get pizzay!
And he spoke to Compass Media Networks yesterday.
All right, yeah. So, no, I am not getting pizzayed. They made a very nice donation to my foundation.
Awesome.
Already, by the way. I mean, they did it faster than Odyssey does.
That's my guy, Rob Blum.
I mean, it's taken Odyssey like 10 years to catch up, but they're still lagging behind. But Compass Media Networks, boom, done. Peter Kosan, thank you very much. Yep. Appreciate it. It was very simple. Your buddy called me. I spoke with him. I spoke with him. I said I'd be more than happy to do it. We were supposed to go to Phil Simms' house that day.
Right. Mm.
And that was a day that, you know, all of a sudden Rosner, the agent for Phil and me.
Phil.
Hi, Phil. Sent us an email saying Phil was going to be busy that day because he was going to that Giant game.
Phil. By the way,
now
Phil joins us at 8 a.m.
He's going to join us at 8 a.m.
Nice.
Now, unbeknownst to me and you, after you spoke with me yesterday, I don't know if you knew this or not, that Compass Media Networks reached out to Phil.
Phil.
Because they were thinking about having him do the game with you. I never knew this because when you brought this to me yesterday, that was all, That was not on the table.
But he told him no because he was going to have a barbecue with you guys.
No, he didn't tell him no. I thought the reason that maybe Rosner said you're not going to Phil's house on the 20th was because he must have been set up to do a broadcast or something. That's what I initially thought.
I was presented several possibilities of a game that was not, as I said to you yesterday, wasn't even locked in.
Yeah, so I did not get the... All right, so I did not know any of that previous discussion with Compass Media Networks and Phil.
Got it, yes.
Phil. Right.
Phil.
And man, so yesterday as we were talking about this and I said I would do it and then Rob gives me a call. I said, yeah, just make a donation to the foundation. I'll show up. We don't need contracts. I'll show up.
You got this is for the children.
So right after I end up talking with him, I get a call from Rosner.
Oh, God.
And Rosner's like, oh, by the way, just want to let you know, Compass Media Networks reached out to Phil last week to do the game. And I'm like...
And did he accept?
He hadn't accepted yet. And then I said, well, tell him to accept, and then we'll all do the game.
And we're all going to do the game.
So now we're all going to do the game.
Get out of here, yes. Really?
And then I try to get them to get you awesome. To do the sideline.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not holding my breath for that. But
why
that's
not?
Awesome. Well, because Jerry told me he's been begging to do sidelines for, like, years.
You know who's done sidelines? This guy right here, Al Dukes.
Well, so have I. I've done sidelines for a couple of years.
And Al did sidelines for hockey games.
And for the Bucks, didn't you, Al?
I did not, unfortunately.
Remember we threw it down to Al during the hockey game?
Yes, I do remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, we could have Gio on the Philadelphia sideline, and Al can go monitor the Giants' offensive line.
I would panic in that situation.
So where does that stand?
I would say
up in the air.
I think it's a little up in the air because normally Compass Media doesn't do this, and correct. I think it's got to be something... Work through with the Giants, and you know, the Giants obviously we're the home of the Giants here. We will not on this radio station, we'll be everywhere else nationally for Compass Media.
I would say not likely, but not impossible.
Okay,
that's where I would leave it.
Well, I appreciate you.
I would love that. Yeah. I think that would be
cool.
But there, be fun.
There's a lot of hurdles to jump over to do that. It's something they don't do on a weekly basis, as I have been asking for years. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not, like I said, I'm not expecting it. I'm glad that you asked. I'm appreciative, but it's really fun to know that you, Jerry, and Phil
are doing the game together.
It's going to be so strange.
That's going to be great.
That's going to be strange.
Strange in a great way.
I mean, you know, I'm going to have to balance it out because, you know, he's going to be rooting for the Giants.
So you'll be rooting for Saquon?
I'm not rooting for anybody, but I will definitely balance it out.
I'm sure you will.
Without question.
Staying between the two, you guys won't punch each other in the face.
Are you going to stand between us?
I don't know where I'm going to stand. I usually like to be against the wall because I put all my I tape all my stuff to the wall, but I'll do whatever you need. What?
No, I'm just, you tape stuff
I
to
do.
The
I
wall.
Tape stuff everywhere. Yeah.
See, this is the thing about these play-by-play guys. They all have their, like, abnormalities.
That's true. I need the information in front of me, though.
You got a spotter?
They have a spotter and a statistician.
You got a statistician.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know how I love the stats.
Oh, my God.
You love
the
stat pack. I'm a big stat thing.
You're not even going to have to say anything, Jerry.
These coaches better be making the right decisions.
Jerry's going to see the fewest words in the history of play-by-play with those two guys in there.
They're right.
No, that's not true.
First
down.
Go, guys.
Yeah. Phil's going to be talking to himself, asking himself questions, answering questions. Boomer's going to be reading stat packs. Noel Jerry's going to be able to say his touchdown.
Let's go down to the sideline.
The
Greg Giannotti with an update. Yeah,
who left in the first half because he didn't get to say anything.
Oh,
all right. Very good. That's awesome.
Fun.
I like
fun.
That. We'll talk to Phil about it coming up in a half an hour.
All right. We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We know the Mets won. I promise I will get you the highlights in a moment. But you were just talking about the passing of Pete Rose. And I did see Funhouse posted... Mike eulogy, if you will. I'd like you to shut your eyes.
Okay.
I would like you to just think about the great baseball player that he was as we listen to Mike do his thing in the only way Mike can.
He scored 100 runs 8 times. Ricky Henderson scored 100 runs 14 times. There were players far more talented than Pete Rose. There were players on Pete Rose's great teams that were better players than he was. Mike Schmidt's a better player when he was on the Phillies. Johnny Bench is a better player. He was a degenerate gambler. Where'd he spend his time in all these years? In Vegas. He was a degenerate.
Man, I just died. Right.
On the Bette Rivers podcast, by the way.
You gotta be kidding
me. Have a good time. Bye.
Bye.
I mean, this guy was pure scum. he wasn't even that good of a baseball player. I could name Rod Carew, better player, Ricky Henderson, Cal Ripken, Mike Schmidt. I mean, he was just an average baseball player who was a complete piece of crap. Okay, so, I mean.
Jesus. Amazing. I just died. He's dead. I mean, look, let me tell you something. I knew Pete Rose from 1984 when I was a rookie and moved to Cincinnati, and I met him. And I was actually a partner with him and Johnny Bench and Chris Collinsworth in a restaurant. And
bunch of losers.
Yeah, exactly. Pete was a fun and great guy who had, unfortunately, a deep-seated problem, much like we've dealt with here on this radio station. And while that part of his life was conflicted, he would do anything for you. You know, if I wanted to call him up and say, hey, I needed a bat sign, a ball sign, he would always do it. And, you know, I don't know. I have a totally different kind of feel for Pete and who he was and what he meant to the baseball fans in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I thought that Mike was going to have a positive eulogy for Pete Rose because I remember they had that interview in studio where Pete told that story about Joe DiMaggio. Remember that?
I do.
Do you guys remember that?
It was sexual, if I recall, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. Look that up on X. Let's make sure since we're doing this, we might as well do that as well.
And I do think you're right. In fairness, I'm sure he said a lot of good things.
Yeah.
But Funhouse clipped all the negative ones, which were funny.
Degenerate gambler. Just a bad, flat-out bad guy. Okay. And he stunk. I mean,
is Mike into horse racing?
Yeah.
Loves horse racing.
Yeah. Gambles a lot on horses?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think you can gamble responsibly and also be Pete Rose. Right?
But let me ask you. But here's the deal. I mean, like, given the crossover between sports gambling and sports nowadays.
On the Bette Rivers podcast, let's talk about Pete Rose, the degenerate loser gambler.
And guys getting nabbed for gambling on their phones when they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And getting
more and more.
Right. And getting suspended for a year and then coming back. I mean, when you think about this thing in today's world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you see John Heyman's tweet?
Hey, man!
No. Which Al brought to my attention yesterday. And I don't think he was being funny. I think he was being serious when he said the ban was for his lifetime. He has now served the ban. Put him in.
Yeah, I think they will put him in.
I mean, I do too, but I at first I'm like, haha, that's funny. But I'm like, actually, that might be very serious and true. So, whatever.
Look, all I can tell you is Pete Rose has a ton of fans that believed that he should have been in the Hall of Fame. And by the way, if everybody played the game, you know, like the way Iglesias dove into first base last night?
Yeah.
That's how Pete Rose played the game. People don't remember that, but that's how he played the game. That's why he was Charlie Hustle.
Charlie Hustle. All right, let's listen to Mike Francesa and Charlie Hustle together on this radio station a few years back.
We're down in, as you may not know, South Vietnam is a jungle.
He went to Vietnam with Joe DiMaggio on a tour.
Yeah, 23 days I lived with Joe. And it's so hot you can't sleep. And all of a sudden Joe says, I got to take a shower. I said, Joe, we're not downtown Saigon. We're in the damn middle of the jungle. He said, I don't give a darn. I'm Joe DiMaggio. I got to take a shower. So the only way you could take a shower there is a guy had to get up on a chair, me, have a bucket of water, pour it into this canvas thing.
Pull it over his head.
Pull the chain, and the guy underneath took a shower. I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower. Now, the best way to describe Joe DiMaggio is he was a penis with a man hanging from it. You're going to get us kicked off the air, Mike.
Then he goes, you're going to get us kicked off the air, Mike.
And he did those penis jokes. Not funny at all. Degenerate gambler did penis jokes. Not a good ball player. R.I.P.
Oh, boy. That you have some memory, man. I can't believe you remember that.
Funhouse, I got to give Funhouse credit. He puts that out occasionally.
Oh, okay. That is very funny. Me. Well, you're talking about Charlie Hustle, and ironically enough, the play you just mentioned was what I was going to play this hour with the Mets last night.
Hyams' first pitch to Iglesias. Hit hard towards first. Diving stop by the first baseman, Hoskins. Flips to the back. Safe, and now all the way around to score is Taylor. Hoskins went into a dive, made the play. The pitcher, Pyamps, was on his way to the bag.
But he got there late and then actually missed the bag, and Iglesias slides in safely. That tied the game. Then Mark Vientos, the go-ahead two-run single. J.D. Martinez, a pinch-hit two-run single as well. 8-4 at that point, and the Mets beat the Brewers 8-4 in game one of the...
Yeah.
Yes, Howie Rose on Mets Odyssey Radio. This best of three wild card round game and series. Luis Severino, the win. He threw six innings. He retired the final eight batters he faced. So all was good there. Tonight, you're going to have Sean Manaea making the start. Mets are going to try and move on and win this series if they can win tonight. You got Frankie Montas going for the Brewers. Jesse Winker, by the way, a big two-run triple in the second inning. Should mention that as
Winker,
well.
Winker, Iglesias, Marte. Yeah. I mean,
Marte, right. Marte with the sack fly that got the run in.
Hey, listen, Tyrone Taylor. I mean, like all these guys, like secondary pieces doing their jobs.
And think about the guys that didn't do their jobs this year with this team and this regime. Gone.
Yeah. I mean, especially the starting pitchers.
No doubt. The Padres shut out the Braves last night 4-0. The Tigers beat the Astros 3-1, and the Royals beat the Orioles 1-0.
So three out of four road teams won.
Yeah, the Braves were the only team that didn't. Yeah. That is correct.
Not too bad.
Too bad is right. So you asked about the McAfee question to Aaron Rodgers, so I went and found it. This was how he posed it, and then I'll give you more on Rodgers with Rob Saleh.
You and Coach Saleh's relationship, every day learning more and more about each other and understanding how it could be perceived outside the building, or do you guys not even let that even affect how you interact with each other, the shit that's happening outside?
And so that was the question.
Okay.
And then you heard the answer last hour. Rodgers had a little bit more than on Saleh.
We have, you know, text message conversations, threads that we're in, conversations about a number of different topics outside of football. We had a good friendship. We got a good friendship.
Good friendship. And then he said, yes, he was actually interested in Egypt, and we discussed that as well. So that's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he likes Rob Saleh as the guy, and I'm sure he's had a friendship with him since they met out in California that first time, but he probably also doesn't respect him as a football man and a head coach. I think those two things can exist at the same time.
Are we able to... I know we could play that audio. Can you play the audio with Garrett Wilson and Bart Scott?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know, Well, just play it and see what happens.
And then I also have to go find it. That's the other
thing. I see.
Which I can do, but I have not done it.
It's actually right there on Garrett Wilson's X page.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. So if you just go right to that, it's there.
I just wanted to hear what he said and how he said it.
I can have that for you for next hour. That's
okay.
Fine. And then I'll have next hour more of Davante Adams for you and some other things as well.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Mets Winners Wednesday. Another opportunity. Everything is set up. Things were perfect yesterday in Milwaukee. Carlos Mendoza, everything he is doing is working out. Keeping Edwin Diaz out there after blowing the save. That ended up working. Pinch hitting J.D. Martinez for Jesse Winker, who he put in the lineup. Both those things ended up working. He didn't have Maton or Diaz available. Budo for two innings. You know, keep Severino in there for six. Budo for two innings. You know, every little thing is a big thing in the postseason. And Carlos Mendoza is just like he's been a sorcerer. He's been the man the answers.
I almost say lucky, simply because when I think back to the game that they won in Atlanta, the first game of the doubleheader, and he let Edwin Diaz stay in the game. And Edwin, you know, supposedly like, I'm not, you know, going to mess this up. I got this S, you know, that whole thing.
I got this poop.
Right, yeah. So, you know, when it works, then this is always the manager or the coach. The next day, if what he does works, then we all laud the fact that this is the decision that worked. When it doesn't work for the coach, you know, we go haywire the next day. Why did you go for it? Why didn't you kick the field goal? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? So right now, Carlos Mendoza's got the magic touch because most of the things that he is doing are actually working out for the Mets.
Yeah. And they, to me, firing Buck Showalter when they did, I thought was a little bit of a risk. But this, so, you know, I was wondering, could there be another time in Major League Baseball history, where a manager won Manager of the Year, then was fired the year after that, and then a new guy came in and won Manager of the Year in that short of a time. Because that might happen with the Mets. Buck Showalter was a Manager of the Year in 2022. Then he was fired in 23. 24 comes along. Here's Carlos Mendoza. Might win Manager of the Year.
He might. I mean, you know, there are other very good candidates, including the guy in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know, and it usually has something to do with, it's all regular season. It has nothing to do with the playoffs.
Right.
But I would just say that Carlos, given everything that he's been through, the changes, the moving around of players, the bullpen, the starting pitching, the injuries, as every team deals with. And now to see him do what he's done with this team over the last, you know, probably since the mid-June on, has really been something to behold. But then again, you know, Francisco Lindor has been carrying this team.
Yeah, and then when he was out, though, they were still playing great, and he's come back, and you could tell he's been compromised. He's still been great. So, also, if you think about, you know, Mendoza and coming from the Yankees and David Stearns and this first year, I mean, we really didn't have any idea what he was going to be. I mean, we heard great things about him, but, you know, moving on from Buck Showalter, who everybody really liked, it was like this felt like a risk. This didn't feel right. It felt like David Stearns wanted to control the guy. That's what I was saying at the time. Dead wrong about that. Absolutely dead wrong about that. And remember, I did hear a caller bring this up on the overnight show with C-Mac, is that there's been two instances where Buck Showalter's been fired, and then the next year, a team wins the World Series with their new manager, one of which was the 1995 Yankees. And then Buck fired, Joe Torre takes over, World Series championship 1996. The other was 2000, Buck Showalter fired from the Diamondbacks. 2001, Bob Brenly comes in, they win the World Series.
Yeah, it's got to suck for Buck.
Could it happen again?
It's got to suck for him.
Suck for Buck?
Yeah.
Be great if there was a quarterback prospect, the last name Buck, out there. It'd be very easy to talk about a team tanking with suck for Buck. But yeah, it must suck for him. Obviously, he hasn't won one, so maybe there's a trend. You never know. Buck Showalter, you take the shackles off and let the team fly.
Well, it's like anything else. We watch it with the Knicks. We watch it with the Rangers. You got to stay healthy. Got to stay healthy through all of this. And right now, they're lined up pretty good, if you ask me.
Yeah. No, of course. They absolutely are. And I really want them to finish it off. I don't want the – plus, by the way, Game 3, because it's all about us, as everybody understands – Game 3, I believe, is after an 8 o'clock first pitch. I think that's like an 8:30 first pitch. We don't need that in our
lives. Let's worry about the first pitch tonight.
We don't need
first
that.
First pitch, one inning, come on now.
7:38. I think it's 7:38. Get this one done, and we don't have to worry about Game 3 or any of that nonsense. And then you head there to Philadelphia, who's been sitting around. They're stagnant. You're not thinking about baseball right now. They're just completely detached from reality. You know, and the red-hot Mets roll in there.
It doesn't matter what they're thinking about, what they're doing. It doesn't matter.
Jackson in Clifton, New Jersey. What's going on, Jackson?
Hey, Sarah. Good morning, guys. What's I want to know, you guys are saying that Mendoza might win Manager of the Year. How is that? The Mets, we sucked last year. Milwaukee Brewers, they did the same thing that they're doing this year. Like they were the walk-on last year. Same thing. The manager didn't do anything different.
Listen, it's to me, Carlos Mendoza, I mean, I'm a little bit biased with this, obviously. To me, Carlos Mendoza is the manager of the year. But, you know, every single one of these teams that's going to be in the playoffs is going to be considered, especially if they don't have the talent of the L.A. Dodgers or the New York Yankees. Because Boone and Roberts will not be considered because of the massive names that they have throughout the lineup. Whereas teams that didn't have a lot of expectations and came into the, and some of them, even though the Mets have a high payroll because of a bunch of guys they're not paying, or not playing, but paying, they're a team that was a little bit of an underdog thing. Mendoza's going to be in that mix. So the Brewers are going to be in there.
He's definitely going to be in the mix. I mean, there's probably going to be three or four guys in the mix, as there always is.
Yeah.
I know we are biased because of the way this team started the first 6 weeks of the season. I mean, I don't know what to tell you other than, like, Francisco Lindor is not going to win the MVP.
Yeah.
He's not.
Right.
That's okay.
But we believe that he should because he plays shortstop and there's metrics. And they were talking about this during the broadcast, by the way. And they were talking about wins above replacement and how that is baked in. That defensive metrics are based into that number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that number was still lower than Shohei Ohtani's.
Yep, that's right. It was like 8.1 to 7 something or whatever it was. Maybe 9.1 to 7 something. But whatever. That stuff to me... It's about team. Lindor always says it's about team. They're on a mission. All of that stuff matters more than those individual awards. That's for sure. All right. If I tell you blueberries, papaya, onions, oh my gosh, I'd do it. Phil. It gets me excited. The Phil Simms Spotlight, brought to you by Balance of Nature, is next. On Boomer and Geo.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.